Let's open our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. We've come as far as 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And yesterday everyone had a verse. This morning I think we'll be a little bit short. But we'll start on this side right here in the front row. And we'll read through this section.
Paul and Silas, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing.
Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring.
All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering.
In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you.
You know, provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us who the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels.
He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus.
They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power.
On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed, this includes you because you believed our testimony to you.
With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his challenging and that by his power he may
that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and be in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And if you remember what we read in 1 Thessalonians, what was it that he was encouraging from this church? What is it that he often said in 1 Thessalonians, I'd like to see it increase more and more? What was it? The faith and love, right? He says, that's my prayer for you, and that's my desire, that your faith and love would increase yet more and more. And then we get to the second letter, and it seems that God had been answering that prayer. Because right here at the outset, he says in verse 3, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. You think that made Paul happy? You think that brought him great joy? To get this good report from the Thessalonian church that what he had desired for them, that their faith and love would increase yet more, it was taking place. And we had read that and also in that first letter where he had said, you know, you're my joy. For me to live is to see, really, I'm living now because you are standing firm in your faith. And you can see that his whole life was given to the people that God had placed before him and in his path to serve in the Holy Spirit. And he was a faithful minister, a faithful shepherd of the flock of God. And so he was rejoicing. We are bound to thank God always for you because your faith is increasing more and more. It's growing, and your love for everyone is increasing. And I think God is working some of that among us. What do you think?
Yes.
Yes, he is. He is. He is. He's changing us. Sometimes we don't see it. But God is working. And when you go home after these 2 weeks, you will know that there has been a change.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Maybe your friends, maybe your parents. What happened to you? That often happens in the village, you know. cottage. Children come home from camp and their parents, what happened to you at camp? What happened? God is working to change us into His own likeness. Change from glory into glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there was a song that was requested this morning. I think it fits in well right here. So we're going to sing it. It's number 19 in your camp books. Number 19 in our camp books. Love Divine. To be glorified in His holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. Hallelujah. There's a day coming when that work of God, the work that He has done in His saints, in His glorious church, will be revealed. Christ will be seen within in all his beauty. What a day that will be.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And with this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power, he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. Hallelujah. God is at work in us. God is at work to glorify himself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all by his grace. It's all of his power, his working. And so we thank him. Now just one more thought before I ask my mom to come. There was a thought that blessed me here. We have this section that speaks of God's judgment. You see that? Did you read that? What do you think about that?
Yes.
I thought God loves me. I thought God loves the whole world. How could he judge the world? It's not a pretty picture, is it? What does it say there? Look in your Bibles. Verse 7. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. Shut out from the presence of God. Can you imagine that? How awful that must be. We enjoy his presence, don't we? We walk in his presence. He's been so good to us. We sense his presence here this morning, but to be shut out from his presence forever. What an awful judgment that is. Eternal destruction in that day will be shut out from his presence. But there's something else that Paul says here to them. He says, God is just. God's judgment is right. And because of this, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. You see, there's another side to this. There's another side to this. God has prepared a kingdom, a place for you and for me.
Hallelujah.
And he's counting you worthy for that. He's just. He knows. He knows that you have given your life. In this case, these people were under persecution. Remember we talked about that? Right from the beginning, this church was persecuted. But God says, I know. I know what you're going through. And there will be a day when everything will be made right. There's a little story I read. A little illustration about two farmers. One was a Christian, one was an atheist. They both planted their crops. And it seemed that the unbeliever, the non-believer, he had a wonderful harvest. And he had good crops, and nothing bad happened to his farm, but the Christian man had a little difficulty that year. His crop wasn't so good. He lost some of it. And so at the end of the season, September came and the time to harvest. And so the unbeliever said to the Christian, well, it looks like your God didn't take care of you too well. Look at me. I've got a bountiful harvest. What did the Christian man say? He said, God doesn't make final payment in September. God doesn't make final payment in September. He knew there was a day coming when he would be counted worthy of the kingdom. and would find a place in the presence of God for eternity. And so, beloved, that's what awaits us. But I trust you see that it's in God's justice that these two pictures, these two ends of man, as it were, are laid forth. It's in His justice. It's in His righteous judgments that some will enter into life and some will enter into eternal destruction. And it seems here and in the Bible there's no middle ground. You see a middle ground here? Theo, is there a place in the middle where someone can squeeze in? No. It's either one or the other. But you, beloved, you are counted worthy. That was his prayer. I want you to be worthy of that calling and someday stand before him. Amen. Come, Mom. What's on your heart this morning for us?
How many chapters are there in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians?
How many chapters?
In both books. 1st Thessalonians had how many chapters?
Five.
2nd Thessalonians? Three. And how many times does Paul speak about the second coming of Jesus?
20 times.
You have it in the front of your notebooks? You've been writing down every verse that you've found? If you're going to count up at the end, you're going to have at least 20 verses. Now, that's a lot, isn't it? In such a short two letters that he mentions, Jesus is coming again. When was the last time in your church did your minister preach a sermon on the second coming of Jesus? When was the last time you had a Sunday school lesson on the second coming of Jesus? When was the last time your youth leader told you Jesus is coming? Can you remember? No, you can't, huh? We very seldom, it's strange, isn't it? Very seldom do we hear a sermon on the second coming of Jesus. Did you know that Jesus is coming again?
Yes.
Has he said that he's coming?
Yes.
And he's reminded these people. And Jesus had just gone to heaven maybe 60 years before. And already Paul is expecting him what?
To come back
again. And how long has it been? How many years has it been since Jesus went to heaven?
Almost
2,000 years. He's not coming. No. 2,000 years? And it's going to happen? Do you want it to happen?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Be honest. Do you really want Jesus to come today?
We didn't finish volleyball yet.
What?
We didn't have the volleyball tournament.
You didn't have the volleyball tournament. Oh. And I'm going to ask you at least 10 other reasons why you don't want Jesus to come. Now think. Think of the things you want to do in life. All right? You're not looking for Jesus to come today. Did you get up saying, oh, Jesus is coming today, or he might? Did you think that? Tell me the truth.
No.
We go from day to day, and it seems we never even think of the fact that Jesus might come today. And here he told the people, he's coming. Be ready. Watch. And it seems so far from our minds. All right? Now you tell me why you really don't want Jesus to come. There's some things you want to do, right? You don't want your life to end, do you? Do you?
No.
Come on, answer me. Do
no.
you want your life to
no.
end today?
No.
And you want to go to heaven today? Huh? You want to go to heaven today?
No.
She's saying yes. And she's only a young girl. I'm elderly. I could say, yes, I'm ready. I've had a full life. I've had a wonderful life. I could go to heaven today. I wouldn't mind. But I don't think you would really like to go to heaven. Now, why? Why don't you want to go to heaven today?
I want to see my children grow up.
You want to see your children grow up. Yes. And I, too. I would like to see my grandchildren grow up. All right? Why don't you want to go to heaven today? Where are some of you going when you go back from camp? Where are you going? You're going to college? You're going back to school? And why are you going to college? Because you want to get an education? So Jesus, wait 4 years, all right? Just wait. Let me get through college. And then don't come yet, though, because after I'm through with college, I want to get a job. And don't come yet, Jesus, because after I have a job, I want to
get married.
I want to make money. So don't come yet. You know, I have plans. And I really, you can come later on, Jesus, but not right yet. And after I make money, then what are they going to do? You tell them. What are they going to do after they make money?
Get married.
Besides spending it, you know. What are they going to do?
Get married.
I have to hear you.
Get married.
Oh, they're going to get married. Oh, so Jesus, don't come yet, okay? I really would like to get married. Is this true, Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to find a nice man. I want to find a nice woman. And then I want to have a family. So, Jesus, don't come yet, okay? I'd like to live here a little while. But Jesus says, I could come anytime. And I'm going to come when you're not looking for me. And when you don't expect me. I'm coming as a thief. We heard that the other night, didn't we? He's coming as a thief. All right. What else? Education, a career, a job, money. And then after you get about maybe $50,000 in the bank, then what do you do? What would you do? If you had $50,000, what would you do? You buy a house, right? You'd want to buy a house. And a nice one, right? A nice house, not a cheap one. You want to buy a house. And it's got to have a big yard in the back, and it's got to have a porch. And it's got to have a driveway and a garage. And so, Jesus, don't come yet. All right, so then you get older. And you turn 65. Anybody near that? Don't raise your hand. You turn 65. You've had a good life, you know. Is it all right for Jesus to come now? I'm retired. Now, Jesus, you can come. Oh, no. Not yet, Jesus. Not yet. Why?
I'm going to retire.
I have to enjoy my retirement.
I'm going to enjoy my retirement. I'm going to go on a cruise to Alaska. So don't come yet. What else? I have a hobby, and I want to pursue this hobby. I want to enjoy the free time that I have now, okay? Now, I'm telling you the things. You should be telling me, right? What else? I want to travel. You see what I'm trying to get at? What are we telling Jesus?
Don't come
yet, okay? Because I have a lot of things I'd like to do. When I'm young and as I get older, I still have plans. And maybe some of you would say, Jesus, don't come yet because I want to become a missionary. That's good, right? So don't come yet. I want to become a missionary. I want to go into a foreign land and tell others about Jesus. Or can you think of any other reason why we don't want Jesus to come?
We might not be ready.
Oh, say that again.
We might not be ready.
We might not be ready. True? Then you surely don't want Jesus to come. Because if you're not ready, if you're not his child... And as Philip said before, he's coming with vengeance, and he's going to punish. So if you're not ready, you really ought to be scared, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you a story. There was a man who was a businessman, and he had to go on a business trip. He had 3 children and a wife, and he told them, I'm going on this trip, but I will be back next week. I don't know what day I'll be back. And I want you to meet me at the train station. I don't know what day, but next week, someday, I'm coming back, and I want you to meet me there. And so he went on the weekend, and he was supposed to come back someday the next week. And so after supper, every night, his wife would tell the children out, get cleaned up and put a nice shirt and pants or dress on, and you go to the train station and meet your father. So Monday came, they cleaned up after supper, they got dressed, and they walked to the train station, and they waited there for the train. Train came, no father was on the train. Monday. Tuesday came, no father. Wednesday came, and they asked him, you think he's really coming back? We get dressed every night, we get cleaned up, and we go to the station, and he's not coming. Thursday night came, no father. How many days they got left? Friday and Saturday. So the mother says, go again. He said he's coming. So they got dressed, they got washed, and they walked to the station. And what happened? What happened on Friday? What do you think happened?
He came.
And they were so excited. And the father was excited, too, to see the children. He stood back and he looked at them. Oh, you look so clean. And you're all dressed up. You were waiting and expecting me to come. Now, does that story have a meaning? Are we like that? Are we clean? Are we ready for Jesus to come at any time? Morning, noon, or night? We've got to be ready. We have a girl at our assembly. And when we get birthday cards or Christmas cards from her, you know how she signs her name? She doesn't say love, so-and-so. She puts down on her card, Maranatha. Now, what does that mean? Maranatha. Did you ever hear of that word? That's a strange word, isn't it? Nobody knows what it means?
The Lord is coming.
Say it.
The Lord is coming.
Yes. In their language, Maranatha, to be interpreted, means the Lord is coming or the Lord is at hand. Okay? Suppose we greeted everybody in the morning. Say tomorrow morning, when we all get up, you say to your husband or your wife or your roommate, Maranatha! You want to try it? Say it.
Maranatha.
And what does it mean?
Lord is coming.
And if you said that every morning, all right? If you said that to somebody, what would that do for us? What would that do for us?
Remind us.
It would remind us? Jesus is coming today. I remember when I was a little girl, I came home from school and my mother wasn't there. And we had just heard a sermon by my husband's uncle in church that Sunday night that Jesus was coming. So when my mother wasn't there when I came home from school, what do you think I thought? Jesus came. Oh, with my mother. She went up and I'm here. Oh, how terrible. And I was so frightened because I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. And I thought my mother had gone and this is the end. And, you know, we don't know when Jesus is coming. And I think we have to remind ourselves. Don't you think so? How would we live? How would we live every day if we were conscious that Jesus just might come today? How would you live? Tell me.
According to his word.
I can't hear you.
According to his word.
You would live according to his word. All right? How else would you live? Would you watch your mouth? Would you watch what you were doing? Jesus might come today. I've got to be ready. See, but the sad part is we don't think that way, do we? We really don't. We push it off to the future. Push it off. And you know, in other lands, there are people who are saying, oh, Lord Jesus, how long before you come? We are suffering here. You know, they are persecuted. They can't have Bibles in some countries. They can't mention the name of Jesus. They can't congregate in a church. There's poverty. They have no food. They have no water. And these are Christian people. If you read some of the Christian magazines, the reports in the other parts of this world are terrible for some Christians. And they're crying out to God, oh, Lord Jesus, how long? And we here in America, we got everything pretty good. And we're not even thinking that Jesus is coming. So tomorrow, when I see you at breakfast, what am I going to say to you? I'm not going to say good morning. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say
Maranatha.
And I'm going to remind you. And you're going to remind those who are in your rooms, okay? Maranatha, Michael. Maranatha, David. Maranatha, Ariel. Oh, yeah, I forgot, yeah. He might just come today. True? And I want to be ready. I want to be ready. And so I leave that thought with you. Jesus may come today. Maybe you'd have to make things right. Maybe you'd have to write a letter to somebody and apologize for something. You'd have to make things right. You have to keep your house in order. Usually, when I used to go away on vacation with my family, when I had 4 children, before we left, we went away sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks. I left everything in order. Everything. The beds were made. All the dishes were done. Everything was clean. My floors were cleaned. I left my house almost the way... It's almost perfect. You know what I mean? Why? Why do you think I did that?
Didn't know if you were coming back.
I didn't know if I was coming back. And in my proud mind, I thought if Jesus does come or if something happens to us and I never return to this house, when they come in and look at my house and go through all my belongings, they want to know that Martha Walsh was a clean lady. Maybe there was a little pride in me, you know? But would you like it if somebody came into your house after you were gone and you were gone and it was all sloppy? What kind of a reputation would you have, right? The thing is, be ready. Be ready. Be clean, okay? So Jesus might come at any minute. So Maranatha. Maranatha. And can we sing our song in the back of our book?
Yes.
It's about the second coming of Jesus. Now you can't say that when you were at Pilgrim Camp, nobody ever told you that Jesus might come, right? You're aware now of that fact. He can come before any of your plans materialize.
Let's stand as we sing. When Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether have your books. It's 149, I believe.
Yes.
149 in the hymn book. Verse 2.
If at the dawn of the early morning he shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will he answer thee, well done?
Sits outside. She likes to greet everybody. And get back at her. When you pass by, you say, Maranatha! Maranatha! Okay?
Amen.
Let's encourage one another. We do that. Jesus is coming.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sister Estelle, would you pray with us, please?
Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning, O Lord. We ask that your word accomplish in us, each one of us, Lord, even those in the cottage and the village and on Anthem, Lord.
Yes.
That which you want to do for each in our lives, Lord. May it bear the fruits that you want for each one of us, Lord. And we pray that you help us each day.
Yes.
To await for your coming as
yes, Lord.
Was
yes,
that
Lord.
Day, Lord.
Yes.
That you may find us ready.
Yes.
And wearing the white garments that you want us to wear, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
As the bride that we are. May the bride be ready for the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes,
yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
We praise you and we give you
Hallelujah.
Honor and glory
Hallelujah.
This day.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you,
thank
oh Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.